This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
I don't marry trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, won't you peep the score? Sports Center E, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good Tuesday morning to you and yours. DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. We are 2 days away from the NFL draft, a day that everybody has completely fallen in love with. Last night, a horrendous loss from the Yankees. Horrible. I'm going to harass you all show long, Rick, to try to get Matt Harvey on the show with us today. And the Knicks, listen, I thought they played pretty well, and they just lost to a team that I think is better with a player who is a Hall of Famer. So we'll get there. Mike Tenenbaum later today. Whatever version of CMT we actually do, we'll do at 6:45 this morning. And let's say good morning to the guys. Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm good, Dave. All is well. Came off the golf course with my parents yesterday, and then I had an opportunity for a steak dinner with them. So it was really cool to get some FaceTime with my folks. And I'm ready to go, man. We got a lot to talk about today.
So, sports talk for you yesterday, golfing yesterday, steak dinner for you yesterday. That's a pretty good day.
Yeah, it's a pretty good day, Dave. Hard to beat. Plus, I had 75-degree weather, so not bad.
Not bad at all. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm awful, Dave. Thanks for asking. I'm horrendous.
Why? Why are you
Because
so
I stayed
bad?
Up. I watched that entire Knicks game. I got to watch, you know, F Chris Paul, Cliff Paul. I'm done with State Farm, all of it. Hold on. Let me put myself in a good mood quick. Hold on.
Why would you do that? Why would you troll one of your co-hosts by putting on an O's hat?
Feels
it's
much
disgusting.
Better now. Feels good now.
It's disgusting.
Why do you have an O's hat?
Milo's Little League team. We're the Orioles.
Are you really?
Yes.
How apropos.
I know. A little Matt Harvey action last night. Turned back the clock a little bit. I did place a text message to see if he could come on.
You did?
Said if he's up. If he's up.
Nice.
Which means he's not coming on our show.
Right. Probably right.
I'm a starting pitcher.
Let's be fair. We'll start with the Knicks in a moment. He was awesome last night.
No, he was great. And I'll tell you what, and hopefully we'll get him on at some point, but where he's at now as opposed to where he was, like physically, mentally, like he thought it was, like Kay kind of mentioned it last night, he thought it was it. Like he thought he was done. Like to the point where he's like, he's looking for something else to do outside of baseball.
Ugh.
Like that's how bad it got.
So what was rock bottom for him, Rico? Was it with the Royals? Was it with the Angels? What was, like, the lowest that he got?
Oh, man. I mean, it was all of it. Like, he just – it was like he lost his identity. Like, he went – and I think a lot of pitchers go through this. I think he's unique because of his age and what happened with, you know, trying to pitch in too many innings, coming off of Tommy John. Mets put him in a tough spot, had a really good season. Then the thoracic outlet, which is actually harder to come back from. And then – he just wasn't the same guy. Like, remember when he was at his best? Like, when he was the Dark Knight with the Mets. Like, how electric his stuff was.
He was filthy.
He was filthy. His fastball was ridiculous. And then all of a sudden, I mean, he was at 95 last night. But all of a sudden, that was gone. And it was like, he didn't know who he was anymore. Like, he wasn't the Dark Knight anymore. So he's like, he's had to go through all this reinvention, trying to figure out who he was going to be as a pitcher, and you know, am I capable of being a starting pitcher? Do I need to move to the bullpen? Is this something I want to keep doing? And I give him tons of credit, man, because he's worked his ass off, and finally he's at a point. And you just knew going up against the Yankees. I mean, he missed a Connecticut kid, grew up watching the Yankees, to all of a sudden now, kind of getting that. I don't know what lease on life it is now.
I didn't expect that though. You say you kind of
not like
knew.
That. Not like that.
I didn't. I mean, he was dealing last night. He was great last night. He really was. I watched last night thinking to myself, you know what? He's reinvented himself. And he was sensational. He really was. I actually was disappointed because I thought he was so good. And when they left him in the sixth inning, I was like, oh, man, my God. I wish they would have kind of taken him out after five because he had been so good in the sixth. You know, Judge hits the double. But He rallied back. He got through six. I see when they brought in Tanner Scott why, in fact, they left him in the six.
Yeah. Because,
I mean, that bullpen is an unmitigated disaster. And I don't know what they were doing with Tanner Scott last night, but, you know, that good for him. I hope he wakes up before 8 o'clock and he joins us this morning. I would love that.
I have a hard time believing that's going to happen, but hopefully we'll keep our fingers crossed.
We'll keep our
Maybe
fingers
he does a
crossed.
Solid.
And we'll get to the Yankees as we move forward this morning. And that's a terrible loss. And there's all sorts of Yankees side of the ball things that we have to get into. But last night, and I'm not, you know, I'm typically the guy that when my team loses, I find this way to be really upset and really angry and really depressed. And I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you guys can tell me why I'm wrong. I don't feel like that last night after the Knicks game. Like, I thought the Knicks played hard. I thought they played well. I thought that they were into the game, and I thought that they lost to a team that's better, and they lost to a guy that is one of the great players we've seen in the NBA in a very long time.
Yeah, Chris Paul is going to be a Hall of Famer. Like, you know that. I mean, and you saw the difference between what he brings to the table and what the Knicks point guard situation is. As good as Derrick Rose was, it's a difference when you have a point guard that can control the pace of the game, that can get the ball to the guys in their spots, makes everything easier for people on the offensive end, and then it has the opportunity to take control in the end, and that's exactly what CP3 did. So I feel where you're coming from, Dave. There is no shame in the Knicks losing that game because you lost to a team that has superior talent to you right now. Like, the Phoenix Suns are ahead of the New York Knicks as far as their program building goes. And you saw that evidence in the fourth quarter. Now, you got to give credit to the Knicks for being able to get out to the start that they did. They hit 18 of their first 25 shots. Reggie Bullock was awesome in the first quarter. But eventually, the Phoenix Suns walked them down. And listen, the Knicks, through three quarters, had a tied ball game. And you just saw Chris Paul and Devin Booker take over in the fourth. There's no shame in that loss. It sucks because you did have a 9-game win streak going and you wanted to keep that momentum. But the Knicks have nothing to hold their heads down about. That was a good effort last night.
Well, I think the difference was, I mean, late in the game, obviously Chris Paul hits the big shots late, scores the last 7 points, finishes it off for the Suns. But, I mean, Devin Booker was really good for them last night. Like, their best player was their best player. Julius Randle struggled. Like, offensively, Julius Randle wasn't what we've seen. And, I mean, he was due for one of those nights, I guess. Right? Like, I mean, again, you won 9 in a row. The positive I'll take out of last night is somehow Detroit found a way to beat Atlanta.
Which is shocking.
So, I mean, that's good for the Knicks.
You stay tied for the 4 seed, which you have the advantage of.
Yeah. Devin Booker abused Randy Bullock yesterday.
Devin Booker's but he's a great player. He does that more often than not.
To everybody.
No, I don't disagree. And then all of a sudden, Cameron Johnson just decides he's going to wake up. Hits three big threes.
Yeah, when the Knicks were up 4 in the fourth quarter and he rattled home that 3 to cut it to 1, I thought that was a really big shot. But again, I mean, you saw final stages of that game. Great Chris Paul. That's what they do. That's what they are. That's why.
Yeah, but you saw a little bad Knicks, though, too. But you saw a little bad Knicks, too. I mean, Derrick Rose was great for the Knicks, but there were a couple plays late in that game where I don't know if it would have made the difference between winning or losing. But, I mean, there was a point late in that game where they cut it to 4. Booker misses a shot. It's the rebound's right there. Randall with Bullock.
They didn't get that rebound. Yeah.
They didn't get that rebound.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden you have where it looks like R.J. Barrett is
wide open on the inbounds. Wide open.
Wide open. Like
he's gonna
he's gonna lay that up. And then Chris Paul takes over and starts making circus shots down the stretch. But yeah, I'm not devastated. I'm a little upset that I stayed up for the entire game because I didn't sleep. But
I like the fact that you did that. I think it's necessary. I think this week you punt on sleep. You punt on sleep. I mean, tonight's a big night in sports. Thursday's the one of the biggest nights of the year in sports. You'll make it to Friday, and hopefully you go to bed early on Friday and catch up a little bit this weekend. But I think that's a necessary evil. This week, you got to suck it up.
Listen, I'll do whatever it takes. I'm in. I'm all in for the Knicks. Right from the get-go, I was all in. I dragged you on the ship with me and Omar. Right to the very end, Dave.
I'm on the ship, Omar!
We'll be the ones playing the music while everyone's jumping off on the lifeboat. Me and you, Omar.
Come on. You can't be that upset. If the Knicks show up tomorrow night, I know you are, but if the Knicks show up tomorrow night and they play well and they beat Chicago, which they should do, that's last night's loss is not bad. What always worries you, or at least what worries me, is that these things spiral, right? You have a loss where you're like, that's not a bad loss. And then you have another loss, and then you go on the road, and it kind of spirals out of control. That's what worries me. The loss from last night, I don't think is all that big a deal.
Yeah, I'm not worried about this thing spiraling out of control, Dave. Just because the Knicks have shown that they're going to bounce back after a disappointing loss at every point throughout the course of this season. At some point, you got to believe who they are. Like, they keep telling us that they're a team that's always going to give good effort. They're a team that's more often than not going to play good defense. They're a team that's always going to fight. It's funny that you're talking about, you know, the Knicks and not being disappointed and listening to Tibbs in the post game, and he said he was disappointed in their defense. He felt like from an execution standpoint, those guys have got to be better. Like, they had to be better with their rotation. They had to be better with some of their closeouts. They allowed some open looks for the Sun shooters that they typically don't allow. So, I mean, that's – if there's anything where you would point to it and say that was the culprit, I think that on the defensive side of things was more so the culprit than Julius Randle having an off night. I really do, because offense wasn't their issue last night.
You mentioned Tom Thibodeau. Here he is after the game giving CP3 and the Suns a lot of credit for the victory.
Just get ready for the next one. You know, come in tomorrow, watch film, make corrections. You know, the games keep coming. You know, we didn't play as well as we could have in the second half. That being said, our guys have been fighting all year. Second half, I think it was 113, 110. You know, we got to get a stop. I thought we had pretty good defense on Chris, and he made a tough shot. So you tip your hat. We got to get going again.
That shot was like, he went up. I was like, great. And then it went in. I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. That was one of those. Because it was great defense, and it was nearly an impossible shot that he took last night.
And credit Julius Randle for taking that challenge to stay in front of Chris Paul. Because I was sitting there thinking about it, like, this is a mismatch. But Julius Randle, as the best player on the Knicks, wanted that challenge in that situation. And he gave Chris Paul all he could. Chris Paul just made a better play. And sometimes that happens. Like, you can have good defense and the other guy makes a better play. Like, those guys get paid too, and Chris Paul is one of the best point guards to ever do it. So no surprise that in that situation, he's going to be able to come up with a big play for his team.
I mean, he gave up 62 points in the second half.
Yeah.
I mean, and Chris, you can say, you know, late in that game, offense wasn't a problem, but it was a problem. I mean, you scored 23 points in the fourth quarter. Julius Randle had 3 points. Had 3 points in the fourth quarter. He's your best player. Like, it wasn't a great night offensively for him. If he's the Julius Randle we've seen lately, they probably win that game yesterday.
They probably do. They probably do. I don't know if you did, Rick. Did you hear what Chris Paul said when they were leaving the building last night?
That he can't wait to be a Knick?
No, he said we've done what we came to done. Actually.
Oh, did he say that?
Yeah, he said we've come what we came to done, and I don't know if he picked it up from you, but yes, that was a direct quote.
I've done what I came to done.
I could see that at some point showing up on some motivational T-shirt in one of these sports.
That's right.
Maybe I should have sent Matt one of those shirts. He could have worn it in the press conference after the game.
I've done what I came to done.
That's how great would that be?
Done what I came to done.
I've done what I came to done.
Shutting down the Yankees. The last place Yankees. Oh, that feels good to say, doesn't it? Last place Yankees. Woo.
Chris, I just want you to take notice of who's doing this. As giddy as I was with the win last night, I'm not rubbing it in your face this morning. You're not rubbing it in my face,
but you said that we're going to get to the Yankees and then proceeded to go for 3 or 4 minutes on the Yankees' disappointing loss to the Orioles before we got into the Knicks. So you're as guilty as Rick is in this situation.
Then I might as well. You know what? Then all bets are off. I was trying to be nice. But if you're going to say that I was the equivalent of him in the first segment, I might as well really.
I don't need you to patronize me, Dave. You're not trying to be nice. You're not a great guy. You're being a bad guy, especially when it comes to the baseball teams.
I'm going to pull off a Lawrence Tynes. I'm going to punt those suckers all over the place.
You take pleasure.
Great pleasure.
You take pleasure in belittling my Yankees, especially when we're struggling like this.
Oh, I couldn't enjoy it more. It's true. I still stand by the fact that I don't think I was all that nasty in the opening segment here, and I think Rick was the one that carried the torch for that. But if you're going to say that you thought I was right there with them, well, I might as well be. So, Orioles with a sensational win over the Yankees last night.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll tell you what, I was going through my mocks 4.0 and 5.0 yesterday. It's actually, yes. I thought I would hate it. Because I put so much pressure on myself to get it right. I actually enjoyed doing it.
Really?
Well, just, I mean, if you just, because there's some wild card teams, right? Like, there are some teams, like, it sounds like, you know, Atlanta could trade back. They could take Kyle Pitts. Do they take a quarterback? Detroit, what the hell are they doing?
Yeah.
But, like, if you just, like, for example, I was telling you guys before the show, you got Lawrence 1, Wilson 2. If you got San Francisco taking Mac Jones, how that affects the rest of the picks. If they take Trey Lance, how that affects, you know, affects the picks. Like, if you're the Giants, you would hope that they take Mac Jones. Like,
yes, because it keeps two quarterbacks that people will probably want, teams will probably want in there that, you know, which helps you greatly. I agree.
Exactly.
I agree.
And then, but it's amazing how many different, like, different variations you get. Like, what the Giants would get at 11.
Are your picks? Like, do you feel like you're locked in? Is there still a lot of work to be done?
I think there's probably still a lot of work to be done.
How many hours between now and when we reveal our top 11 picks on Thursday morning will take place with you? Is Milo involved? Is Ella involved? Like, who's involved in this process, by the way?
There are multiple people. I mean, some buddies I call. Like, I usually what I'll do is I will, like, so I will call buddies that I know are fans of certain teams that I have questions about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have a buddy who's a fan of the Lions. So I'll call him. What do you guys need? What do you think you're going to do? I have a buddy who's a fan of the Broncos. I'll call him. So I told you yesterday I did 4.0 and 5.0. I'll probably get to, by Thursday, I'll probably get to, my final will probably be probably my 10th variation of the draft, probably.
10th variation of the draft.
Yeah, where I kind of like just put it all together.
You might be spending more time than Gettleman on the draft.
I wonder how much influence Joe Judge has.
I hope a lot.
Because it would make sense. Like, this would be the time. He's never done it before, but it would make sense for what they need to trade back.
I'm not getting fleeced.
Take it for what it's worth. I heard from a pretty good source the Giants will not trade back.
I've tried in the past. Honest, I've tried.
I can't listen to him. I wish he'd stop playing at Santiago.
They'll be a good player there, though, at 11.
They should get a good player. I agree.
It's going to be, I mean, they'll get, especially if they're going to go defensive side of the ball. You get a really good corner at 11.
Well, you should be able to get one of the three receivers, you'd think.
Yeah, is that something they really want to do, though? Would you rather?
Like, they need a receiver. They don't need a receiver. They got enough receivers, Dave. How many skill position players do you need? You only got one football.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I don't know, man. I just feel like if there's an offensive lineman that you would figure, you know, is can't miss, if Rashawn Slater is there, then I can understand that pick. If there's a corner that's there, whether it's Surtain or Horn, I can understand that. Otherwise, they probably need to trade back. I think this is actually the ideal draft for them to trade back.
Oh, but I
just based on Dave Gettleman's record, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I just don't know that I trust that he will go ahead and do something like that. All right, let's get to some of these Knicks calls. People want to get involved in the conversation about the game, about the tough loss last night. 800-919-3776. Al in Holbrook. Al, good morning. You are first up on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone doing?
We're doing good, Al. What's
doing
up?
Terrible. I'm fine. I think Chris is fine as well.
Listen, I understand it was a tough loss last night, but you know, all we really wanted to see was effort. The Knicks always bring the effort, so I'm proud of them. But what I wanted to say is, bigger than Randall not having a big fourth quarter, what stood out to me was Alec Burks not being available, because I felt like this season he's been the big playmaker down the stretch. And I felt like we didn't have that last night. And he's usually there to fill that role. What do you guys think?
I think you're 100% right. I think he's been a terrific player.
Well, but I mean, it's the accumulation of it all, though, too. I mean, you have a situation where Julius Randle doesn't have a great game offensively. R.J. Barrett wasn't great offensively. Reggie Bullock kind of, I mean, once you got past the first quarter, he didn't do much offensively.
Quiet.
I mean, really, it was Derrick Rose in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That carried you.
Burks has been great. I mean, they miss him. How long is he out for, by the way?
I don't think we know.
No,
I mean, it's health and safety protocols.
Yeah. I have no idea.
So you don't really know. I mean, it depends on, I don't know if he has COVID or not, or, I mean, if he's asymptomatic. They haven't really said anything about that yet.
Yeah, it concerns you because you've seen guys, athletes, come back and just not play well when they do, right? I mean, yeah.
Well, you saw Tatum too, right? I mean, no, Jason Tatum still
says he takes an inhaler before every game. Before every single game. He never did in the past.
And then how about when we had Quinny on? I mean, Quinny said he couldn't believe how badly he was affected by Zibanejad.
Yep.
wasn't the same when he came back.
Well, I mean, we've discussed Cam Newton and how he, right, was just awful. And is he going to be that bad again? Or was that the COVID that kind of spoke for how bad he was last year? You're right. All right, let's hear from Derrick Rose a little bit. What is the message to the team after that winning streak goes goodbye?
On to the next. We got to have amnesia. We got to have a sense of urgency when we go out and play, whoever we play next. It's important because it's the next game. And just try to get better every game, every day, and try to learn from my mistakes, you know. So tonight, yeah, it hurts for sure, losing a close game like that. But if anything, we know that we could take some lessons and learn from our mistakes and just keep growing as a team. I think it's going to be for the betterment of the team.
It's hard to argue with anything he says there.
Yeah, at a certain point, they were going to lose, right? And Phoenix is a really good team. And I know it was a back-to-back and everything else. But, I mean, what are you going to do late in that game? I mean, I mentioned you got to get that rebound off the Booker miss. The pass Bullock made to RJ was a terrible pass because he's going to – I mean, he catches that. He's going to lay that in.
Correct.
And then you got Chris Paul making crazy shots late.
Yeah, I don't know what you're supposed to do about those. I mean, sometimes great players just make great plays, and that's kind of what it was yesterday.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. So, I'm not heartbroken about the loss. Obviously, I mean, you love the fact – that they won the 9 straight. It would have been great to win 10 straight. But I think we mentioned it too. I mean, the focus now is bouncing back because you're going on a really tough West Coast trip. And the fact that Atlanta lost too to Detroit, which is great. You don't lose any ground.
That's a terrible loss.
It's an awful loss. I don't care.
Detroit. No, of course you don't care. You're thrilled about it. I just don't know how that kind of thing happens. But you know, you start to look at the records, and the Knicks have what? They have 10 games left, so I think it's fair to look at the records. You're tied with Atlanta for the 4 spot, so one of you the 4, one of you is the 5 right now. Obviously, you're the 4, Atlanta's the 5. Boston is a game back in the loss column. Miami is 2 games back in the loss column, and so is Charlotte. So you feel good about 4, but it's tenuous. I mean, if you struggle, and you could with what's on the horizon coming up on the schedule, you could still see yourself in that little play-in tournament.
Yeah, but let's see what happens, Dave. I mean, the next 2 games, you should be able to take care of your business. You're home against Chicago, and then you start your West Coast road trip against the Houston Rockets, who are awful.
Yes.
So there's an opportunity for you to build some momentum, to regain some confidence, and then you see what happens when you play teams like Memphis and Denver. We know what Phoenix is. We know what the Clippers and the Lakers are. So, I mean, I just feel like the beginning of this trip gives you an opportunity to kind of get some momentum, and you'll see where you go from that. But, I mean, listen, if you're talking about this 6-game West Coast road trip and they split and they end up going 3-3, if they go 500,
oh, love it.
Then you'll take that.
Love it.
You'll probably end up not having to deal with that play-in tournament. And I feel like there's a really good chance, based on how this Knicks team plays, that you could find yourself in that scenario.
I think you're 100% right, and I think that the next 2 games are very important because you know what's on the other side of those next 2 games. I need to win against Chicago, and I need to win against Houston. And if I can win those 2, I'll take my chances going to the West Coast.
Yeah, but especially when you look at what Atlanta's got coming up, right? Atlanta's got – they're at Philly the next 2. So, I mean, right there, those 2 games you just mentioned. You pick up hopefully 2 games because I wouldn't imagine – like, I'm hoping Philly takes care of business. So you pick up the 2 games there, and then – I mean, I don't love how, for us, Atlanta finishes the season with Washington twice, Orlando and Houston. That's
Washington's
right. Washington is playing eight. Yeah.
Playing Washington's
their asses
playing right
off,
there,
though.
Yeah.
I mean, Washington might need those games.
No, they're going to need those games. Washington will need those games. I mean, they're right there. Washington will be right there. But, I mean, Orlando and Houston, I'm not. I mean, John Wall's done for the season. Houston's awful.
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 I mean, that's a layup of a game.
But I mean, they're in every single one of these games. Phoenix is one of the best teams in the West. Devin Booker is one of the best scorers in the NBA. Chris Paul is a Hall of Fame guard who made big plays late, and
good.
You had 1-9 straight. At some point, you were going to lose a game.
But what the Knicks have done is they've made themselves really hard to beat, and they've changed the perception of Knicks basketball around the NBA. I mean, you heard Devin Booker talk about it after the game. Like, we knew that this was going to be a dogfight, and he said to his coach that he was going to be available to play the entire fourth quarter. Like, they understand that they're not just going to roll a basketball out there and get a win in Madison Square Garden, which is what every Knicks fan wanted, right? Just not to be a laughingstock around the NBA. And in year one, under Leon Rose and Tom Thibodeau, that's already changed.
Yep. It is
Here's the other thing, though, too, Dave.
Feel.
Here's the other thing, too. I don't need Chris Rock and everyone else that's supposed to be Knicks fans sitting on Celebrity Row, buddy-buddy with Chris Paul at the end of that game after he's making circus.
What do you want to see them do?
I want them banned.
Punch him?
You want what Spike and Reggie Miller had, right? You want that, right? You want that. Okay.
You're there. Get free tickets from the Knicks. I want you banned.
Banned?
I want them
John
suspended.
Stewart can't go back to the Garden. Chris Rock's suspended. Not welcome back at the Garden.
I want them suspended at least. At the very suspended. Least, suspended.
Do you want a statement released? Like, we will not welcome John Stewart into the Garden for at least 2 months because of his association with one Chris Paul.
No, I got Spike Lee goes in the wrong entrance that he always goes into. He gets dragged out of the Garden, but I got to watch Chris Paul do what he does, and then he's buddy-buddy high-fiving with people that are supposed to be celebrities that are supposed to be Knicks fans on Celebrity Row. Should be embarrassed point. With themselves.
It's a valid point. We have a lot of giveaways today. 98.7 ESPN presents Clubhouse Confidential. On Thursday, this is next Thursday, May the 6th, we're giving 98.7 listeners an inside look. I wasn't doing this. You want sex?
Oh,
boys?
You're doing it. Yeah, you're doing it. Let's go.
Are we starting again, or are we going to pick up for where we left off?
No, just pick it up.
All right. An inside look at the game with some of the best minds in baseball featuring Alex Rodriguez.
Ooh, A-Rod.
Yep. Matt Vasgersian.
Oh, I got an urgent for Vasgersian.
That's very funny every time. And Buster Olney.
Oh, love Buster.
And it's all hosted by the one man we look at as kind of a baseball pioneer, the great.
I invested my life in this sport.
Don LaGreca.
Ooh, Don LaGreca.
Don LaGreca, an exclusive VIP Zoom party talking all things New York baseball. And we'll give away some great prizes, too. Now, to score your VIP.
The suicide squeeze. Ooh.
That's right. The sacrifice bunt.
Hit and run. Ooh.
Fly is a 7-inning no-hitter. In fact, a no-hitter.
Exit philo. Oh.
To score your VIP access, be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN.
Bip.
FIP. Again, be the first caller right now at 888-987-3776. Clubhouse Confidential. Where's the music?
Being thrown out at third to end an inning.
When the run doesn't cross the plate prior. You want it. Let me give it to you properly. Clubhouse Confidential. Presented by PC Richard & Son and 98.7. Oh. ESPN. Oh. Oh.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
We're doing this mock draft for ourselves and our show and bragging rights on Thursday. Now, we've stated that if there's going to be a trade, you put trade. So let's just say, for argument's sake, I think the Lions are going to trade. Do I say just trade, or do I have to tell you Lions trade and with who and who that new team takes?
No, just put the pick. Whoever you think, whatever you think the team that trades up is going to take, you just
so
put
I have
that
to
player
hit
there.
Trade and the player they're going to take?
Well, yeah, because the whole point. Well, no, I mean, it's just wherever the player goes in the. I mean, you don't get it right. If you say that the Lions are going to trade with somebody and you have the wrong. And then whoever they trade with. It's not who you have on your sheet as the player that they pick. You don't get it right. You don't get credit for the trade.
But if I get the trade aspect of it correct, and then the Patriots move up to 7 and they take a guy that I don't project going at 7, I don't get anything for that?
Zero.
See,
zero
I think credit. I should. I think
no,
you should get 2 points. I think
no.
If you get trade and the player, you should get 2 points.
Nope.
I think there should be some kind of bonus, Dave. I'm with you on that one. Like, if you predict the trade and you get the player that team is going to take right, you got to get something for that, right?
I would think
so. Something.
RJ's telling me it's 2 points or zero. So if I'm right, so if I say trade out of 7 and then New England moves up to 7 and they take Justin Fields, I get 2 points. But if the trade happens, I get nothing is what I'm being told?
When you don't get the player right, you get 0 points, yeah.
But why wouldn't I get a point for the trade?
Because you missed on the player. The whole point is to be able to predict which players are going to go in what draft spots. That's the whole point.
There's a lot of pressure. How about if I get the team wrong?
Well, it's self-inflicted pressure. If you get the team wrong, but you get the player right, you still get the point.
So I don't have to say who the trade's going to happen with.
No, unless you want the second point. If you get the trade right and the player, Well, then you have exactly.
So if
right.
I say Lions trade out of 7 with New England and they take Justin Fields and Washington moves up and they take Justin Fields, I get nothing for that?
No, you get the 1 point
you
for Justin Fields.
Fields. You get the point
I get
for
the Justin Fields point.
Yeah.
But I don't get the trade point because I didn't get the right team they traded with.
Exactly.
All right. Now it's clarified. Now I understand.
So the best you can do is predict the trade and get the player right. Then you get that extra point. So you get 2 points for that pick.
That would be nice. I would appreciate that greatly.
It's going to be a crapshoot, though. I can't wait for this draft. I cannot wait. What is Cincinnati going to do? I got Joe Burrow.
I know what they should do. I know what Cincinnati's going to do.
I know what Cincinnati should do.
I think we all know what they should do, but I mean, it's Cincinnati.
I know what they're going to do. I could tell you, but I'm not going to because we're in heated competition for Thursday. All right. Let's take a listen to, he is so good, Chris Paul. Knicks could have had him. Phoenix went out and they grabbed him. And here is Chris Paul on closing out the game.
Time out. The Knicks couldn't have had him. Stop yourself. No, they couldn't have. He didn't want to come to the Knicks.
He chose
Phoenix.
Well, you know, we have sound, so we'll address that in just a moment. If you'd allow me to play the sound that we have instead of interrupting me, then making fun of what I'm saying.
I'm just trying to clarify for the people.
I don't think you're being all that nice, and I'm not understanding why.
I lack of sleep, and then yesterday I'm sitting around.
So if you don't sleep, now it's just everyone's an innocent bystander? Everyone's got to take shrapnel because you didn't sleep last night?
Yeah. I mean, that's just, you asked me to stay up. I stayed up.
Well, I didn't ask you to berate me.
So I'm blaming you. So yesterday, remember I told you I was playing kickball and I had the broken foot situation where I ran into the curb and smashed my foot?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought it was healing fine, but apparently I must have stubbed it. Well, I definitely did stub it. I think I might have displaced the second toe. It's all mangled right now. Mm. Like it looks like E.T.'s finger, this thing. Like it looks like it got it longer. It's crooked. So I'm sitting there yesterday and I'm like, oh, my foot is killing me. Milo comes walking up and is like, oh. Your foot looks like garbage.
The words of a child. All right. Are you cool with playing Chris Paul or do you want to interrupt me again?
No, I'd love to hear. I'd love to hear Chris Paul.
We didn't hear it, and I'm not understanding why, but now I do. Chris Paul on closing out the game with clutch shots yesterday.
It's a fun team. Great group of guys to be around. And it's no better place to play than here. The energy here. At the Garden, everybody was messing with the young guys before the game. Like, this ain't just a regular game. And the way that team playing over there, man, this was a fun game.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear one more person say that. Don't. I want to punch him right in the face now.
Why?
This is the best place to play. No, if that's the case and you really believe that, well, come play for the Knicks then.
People are going to start coming to play for the Knicks.
I agree with that, Dave. Yeah. I think based on the last decade of Knicks basketball, it's hard to trust that the organization is going to put the right pieces around you, especially if you're a guy in Chris Paul's situation at the tail end of your career and you want to compete for championships. But after what we're seeing this year, you'll have veteran players that are willing to come to the Knicks. You'll also have some stars that want to shoot their way out of their current situation, look at the Knicks as a potential landing spot. So, I mean, things are going to change for Knicks basketball based on this season.
Absolutely. I think things have already changed. All right, here's the cut that you want to hear, Rick. Tom Thibodeau, did you consider, this is from before the game, did you consider making a move for Chris Paul?
Yeah, I've watched him a long time. And so you always think, you know, when that time of the year comes, you look at all the possibilities and you think about who could fit your team. And, you know, and it has to work both ways. And so the type of player that he is, you know, you knew he would look around. You also look at, you know, the window, look at where he is age-wise and what he was looking for. We knew he would have a lot of options. And so I'm happy with the guys we got. I'm sure he's happy with the decision he made.
Could you imagine if the Knicks had Chris Paul right now, how good they would be?
Yes, I could. It would make a humongous difference. I mean, as good as Derrick Rose, I mean, he was good. Again, yesterday, he was great. Derrick Rose is not...
No.
He's not Chris Paul.
No, and he doesn't make other players around him better like Chris Paul does.
Well, I think he kind of does. I mean, he does
not
to a certain
degree.
Not
to that
degree,
level. But Chris Paul is
great.
Well,
Chris Paul is... I mean, he's the old school definition of what a point guard was. Like, he's there. He's not one of these new age scoring guards.
No, he wants to facilitate first.
He wants to facilitate first. And when you need him late in games to hit big shots, he hit big shots. But like I said, he had options. He, I mean, it's where he's at in his career. I mean, he's looking to win now. No one expected the Knicks to be where they're at.
Could you see Phoenix coming out of the West? Or I still find that hard to believe.
No.
Yeah,
no.
I don't see it either.
No. No.
So give me your top two teams in the West right now. To come out. Not the top two best teams at the moment. To come out of the West and play probably Brooklyn in the finals. That's who? Lakers and?
Lakers, Clippers.
Rick?
Lakers, Clippers. Yeah.
Ooh, Utah's pretty good too. I would say, I mean, LeBron's jogging. Not very fast, but he's jogging. I saw that video. So he'll be back soon. I would probably lean, I don't want to discredit Utah.
But you're about to discredit Utah.
Well, no, because my real question about the Clippers is because Paul George has been really good, but I mean, what happens in the postseason? Is there really such thing as playoff Pete that's actually good?
Well, maybe having playoff Rondo around helps playoff Paul George come around too. Maybe that happens. Maybe that's a change for the better. We'll see.
Oh, that does help. I want to be different though. I'll say the Lakers and Utah.
Really?
Well, yeah, I mean, the Clippers may have to play the Lakers, depending on where the Lakers finish.
They might, depending, right? We'll see. We'll see when LeBron comes back. It's going to be fascinating NBA postseason this year, and we're going to have a big local flavor. All right. So, Chris, you're watching that Yankees game last night. At what point do you start to just become angry? Like, I would think not being able to touch Matt Harvey by the fifth and into the sixth inning, you started to get upset and angry with that result, no?
Yeah, Dave, it was the eighth inning that pushed me over the top. Like, there were blown opportunities. You had bases loaded, one out. I mean, you saw what happened with Odor. He's swinging up there like a washwoman, and then Aaron Judge gets overly aggressive on the base pass and gets thrown out at third. And I'm just like, that's an inning that you should absolutely get more mileage out of, especially with Tanner Scott not being able to find his own. So, I mean, that was my tipping point in watching last night's game. But, I mean, there's points in that game where it's just like, what are we doing? Like, I thought it was a rough call by the second base umpire on Darren O'Day in the sixth, but I mean, you can't have a balk and allow a run to score in that situation. You just can't. Like, you can't make it easier for a team that's inferior from a talent standpoint in the O's to beat you. And yet, that's exactly what happened with the Yankees. I got what I pretty much expected to get out of Davey Garcia last night. I mean, four innings, two run ball. Okay, it is what it is. You knew you were going to have to lean on your bullpen. But, I mean, I just felt like that lineup has got to find a way to be able to manufacture more offense. And when you have situations like you had in the eighth, you got to be able to score more runs.
Yeah, I don't care what the reason is or was. I mean, not wanting to get Garcia through the order a third time. What they're doing right now with the starting pitching is not sustainable. It's not.
No, you cannot ask for 15 outs from your bullpen 4 out of 5 nights. There is no way that will work.
Did you expect more from Davey Garcia last night?
Yes.
No, but at some point, yes. I mean, at some point, you got to push these pitchers a little bit. Like, you can't just unload your bullpen every single game unless Garrett Cole is pitching. That's not, you can't, it's not going to work.
12 outs, 4 innings? You can't do it. Yeah. I expected more than 4 innings from Davey Garcia.
So you expected 5 innings? There's no way you expected 5. There's no way you expected 6.
5.
Because none of the Yankee starters give you 6 outside of Garrett Cole. So that doesn't happen. So there's no way you're expecting that. Like, Davey Garcia on the call up. I thought he would struggle. I really did. And he did struggle. But, I mean, I knew that you were going to have to rely on your bullpen last night. I knew that was going to be a game where it was going to have to be the offense and the bullpen that win the day, because it wasn't going to be Davey Garcia. It wasn't.
And it wasn't. But, I mean, scoring 2 runs last night. I mean, listen, can we say, I mean, the Yankees are bad right now. They are. You can't, I mean, you win 3 in a row. And maybe you got a little fortune. You fell behind in 2 of those 3 games, right? And then you blow a 3-0 lead, and now you lose to the Orioles. I mean, this is a team you clean up on. This is a team you hit. You see Gleyber Torres' numbers in Camden Yards. You clean up on Baltimore, and they beat you last night, and they tried to give it away late stages, and they couldn't. The Yankees right now, they're in last place for a reason, in a bad division. This is a bad baseball team right now.
Yeah, it's a bad baseball team, and they're not playing great baseball. I don't understand, like, and we had talked about the defense. It seems like they've cleaned the defense up. But, I mean, there's no reason. Like, Aaron Judge isn't a young kid. Like, there's no reason in that situation to get thrown out at third.
That's
none.
It's terrible base running. Horrendous.
And at some point, baseball, too. Like, I mean, it's the whole notion that Aaron Boone didn't ask for a replay in time. I mean, are we serious?
It's embarrassing. Can we – are you not at the point – can we just get rid of replay? Like, it's not used properly. Did you see the one in the – was it Elvis Andrus? who was diving into home last night, who was clearly safe, and they called them out? Like, they don't even when it's clearly obvious they don't get it right. Why do we have replay at this point?
Well, I mean, you're supposed to have replay to get the calls right.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's happening?
No. But we could have came to that conclusion a couple of weeks ago when the Mets won a game from the Conforto hit by pitch, when you can't review it to see whether or not the pitch was in the zone. So,
I just don't understand. That's the biggest play of the game. I mean, how the game turned out, that was going to be the biggest play of the game in that moment. And Aaron Boone said after the game that apparently one of the replays they saw, he believes it wouldn't have been overturned, like they wouldn't have ruled that DJ LeMahieu scored. I have a hard time believing that, because when you watch the third base umpire, DJ LeMahieu steps on home, and they haven't even made no call yet.
Yes. And they had a good angle of it, too.
But in that situation, as an umpire, you almost have to feel like at least have a feel for the game, knowing that in that spot, how important that run's going to be, that the Yankees are most likely going, they're going to challenge that call. Like, that's going to be something that they're going to want looked at.
But let me ask you this, though. Your eighth inning, it's a close call. Why are you not, and I think you're right, I think he does deserve more time to challenge it. So just understand that I do believe that. But why are you not just coming out and challenging it right away? Like, it was close enough, you're in the eighth inning, you're not in the third inning where you're going to save it for much later into the game. Why would you just not come out immediately and challenge that call?
Well, because they're not really looking. I mean, where do you think they're looking at that point?
I don't care. I'm just challenging it regardless. Eighth inning, this ends the eighth inning. I don't really need it moving forward. Why would you just not come out and challenge it regardless? You know it's a pretty close play.
No, I understand what you're saying, and they have a process. Like, I mean, they have a process that they go through. And it wasn't like it was different than normal.
Do you really need a process in the eighth inning, the final out in that situation when you're down a couple of runs? Do you really need a process to challenge that?
Well, if I wasn't paying attention, if I'm watching DJ LeMahieu and I'm not paying attention to third base, I mean, how do I know what I'm challenging? Like, in that moment, if I'm not paying attention to, if I'm looking at home instead of third base, I'm not really paying attention to what's going on. Like, I don't know where Aaron Boone was looking.
Can you challenge two things? Can you challenge whether he's safe or not at third, and then in addition to that, challenge whether the run should score or not?
Well, it's the same thing, though. If he's safe at third, he's safe at home.
But if he's out at third, he could still have crossed before he was out at third.
It doesn't matter. It's the same result, though. If he's safe,
not the
run
same
scores.
Result. You could have scored the run to make it 4-3, and he could still be out at third base instead of it being 4-2.
Yeah, but that's what you're challenging.
Okay, so you have to challenge that one?
Do you have to define? What do you mean? Do you have to define
what you're asking to be challenged specifically?
Well, yeah. I mean, he was called out on the play. He was called out. So at that point, you would challenge: was he out before DJ LeMahieu scored? Did DJ LeMahieu score before he was tagged out at third? Which would mean that all of a sudden now it's 4-3 instead of 4-2.
Right. But what happens if, in fact, he was safe at third, but you've challenged that he just happened to score before you thought he was out at third? Would the whole thing get overturned?
Yeah, I think they would review the play, and if he was safe, he was safe.
So you can challenge more than one thing on one play. Let's take a listen.
Who knows
in
Major League Baseball? Who knows? I mean, who knows in Major League Baseball?
I have no idea. Major League Baseball makes it very difficult. And he's right on this, by the way, but I think he should have just come out and challenged regardless, saying he deserved more time to consider challenging that play in the eighth inning last night.
It was too quick, and it was, I just felt like it was kind of bullying, frankly.
Bullying?
He got bullied.
He got bullied? I think that's a...
I'll tell you what, though, of all the managers I enjoy watching come out of the dugout, for some reason, Aaron Boone cracks me up every time he comes out.
He was hot last night, and I understand why he was upset.
Well, yeah, because they're going to lose a game to the Orioles, Dave. That's why he's upset.
I can't believe you lost a game to the Orioles.
And the captain of your team's getting thrown. I mean, that's a boneheaded base-running play.
And the plays in front of him, Rick.
Well, the plays in front of him, and on top of it, there's already two outs. So it's not like I got to get to third so I can score on a second.
Right, exactly. If you want to get to third because there's one out, now you can score on a deep fly ball, that's one thing. But there was no reason to try to make that play.
None.
Awful. Here's more Aaron Boone on the ejection in the eighth.
Greg Gibson just came down from first base and ran out of, apparently said we didn't have any time left when I went to challenge, and so they didn't let us challenge anything.
Was there any consideration, being that it was the eighth inning and a huge play, of just challenging right away? I know that's not typically the way you do it, but...
Yeah, and that's what I would have done, but I want to give Webby a chance to review, because we know we got two plays to review there. Give him that opportunity, and I never... Because I'm watching Mendy, So eventually, if there's any indecision there, I'm going to go to that. And Gibson was just, you know, seemed quick, and I didn't hear him say now.
You got Webby, you got Mendy.
Well, you know what it's like. But you know what it's like, and I hate, like, it's so subjective. Like, umpire to umpire, who thinks, like, who's counting down how much time you have? It's like those, like when you're watching a basketball game, and they're, like when you're trying to inbounds, and you'll have the one referee that gives you tons of time, and the other one, like, just speeding up, or like when you, like, half court violations. It's like, are you trying to be a knob in this situation? Like, the guy looks at you and is like, okay, I think we're going to challenge this thing, and, like, you're going to speed up the process so he can't? Like, at that point, like, really?
Chris,
it's too much time.
It's awful.
Who?
Chris, it's awful. I agree. I think he's 100% right. I think the way Major League Baseball is conducting their from almost beginning to end, their replay situation is an embarrassment.
It's almost like their replay system doesn't want to upstage the umpires making mistakes in real time. Like, it's just like, we don't want to embarrass our umps. So basically the call on the field is going to stand even if they do replay it. But in the chance that it could be a situation with a bang-bang play that the ump got it wrong, we're not going to allow time for the team to challenge in that situation. Like, I don't get it. I don't like it. Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, they got to get together and figure out how we fix this replay system, because it's broken, and we've seen evidence of that in this early season.
Oh, big time. All right, gamers, listen up. MLB The Show 21 is out now. My kids have already purchased it and are playing it nonstop. Ready to play for PlayStation and Xbox
console. So time out. I hate to interrupt you. So you're doing a read.
No, you don't.
No, I do. This is actually for your benefit. You're doing a read for the game.
Right.
You were doing a read on our show for the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to go out and buy the game?
Yeah. Not only did we buy it, we pre-ordered it to pay more money for it, yes.
Because that makes sense. Like, wouldn't it be like, okay, you're doing a read for it, maybe we'll send you the game?
That would be great.
So when you do the read, you
that
can kind of talk about how great the game is?
I had absolutely no idea that we would be doing this read, so I couldn't have said, hey, can I get MLB The Show in advance?
Well, usually they would. I mean, there are other people that have been, and I'm not saying the station, that have been sent the game. It was like in anticipation of you doing
people
reads.
People have been sent the game?
Yes, like in anticipation of you doing the reads for the game, we're going to send the show the game so you guys can play it.
And I would have, because my kids love it, and they've been playing nonstop. We pre-ordered it.
I get what you're saying. I just thought it's funny to me that you're doing reads for it, and like, you didn't get the game.
Yeah, that is really unfortunate.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.